to Psalm 55, verse 22. Psalm 55, verse 22. And then we'll read another verse in another book. Pray and then get into the message this morning. Psalm 55 and verse 22. Psalm 55, verse 22, all together. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Then turn, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Let's read this verse together. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. All together. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. Thank you, Father, for stating this truth twice in your word. I pray, Father, you bless us. Help us to do as you would instruct us to do. And I pray, Father, that we would react properly to the burdens that come our way. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, David is the author of Psalm 55. And he, like the rest of us, experienced burdens. He was a man after God's own heart. He was the sweet psalmist of Israel and one who loved the Lord. David got to a place in his life where his burdens became so heavy that he wrote in verse 6 of Psalm 55, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest." His burdens pressed so sorely upon him that he just wanted to fly away and leave his problems behind him. Now, while that sounds to be ideal, it's not possible. You say, why is that, preacher? Well, we don't have wings. We are unable to fly on our own. And there's another problem with that as well, and that's not what the Lord would have us do with our burdens.
Amen.
Burdens have nothing to do with how good a Christian you are. I know there are those who believe that if you are right with God, you will live a burden-free life. Now, I think David was a better believer than most. And so was the Apostle Paul. And Paul wrote this about himself in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all churches. How many think he had a burden? Paul was a church planter. He was an evangelist, a missionary, a soul winner. And he was burdened about false doctrine and the problems of bad behavior in the church. He was burdened about believers' worldliness and a lack of their spiritual growth. Jeremiah was also one who had burdens. And he wrote this in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 15. We looked for peace, but no good came. And for a time of health, and behold, trouble. At one time, it got so bad for Jeremiah the prophet that he decided he's no longer going to preach. He's going to shut it down. He's going to quit the ministry. And Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 7 through 9 says, I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. Job, who happened to be a perfect man, according to the Lord, meaning mature. He was an upright man who feared God and eschewed evil. And he understood there would be burdens in life. And he said this in Job chapter 14, verse 1. Man that is born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble. We all will have problems. We all will face burdens, cares, and heartaches. This godly man named Job suffered the loss of 10 children. He had his wealth taken away, and his sweet wife told him to curse God and die. His friends were miserable comforters. His health was awful. Yet through all that, Job did not sin or choose nor charge God foolishly. But he did say this in Job 13, verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. Job says that despite the burdens, despite the heartache that has come my way, I am going to live a life pleasing to God. I want to be one who puts a smile on his face. Ezekiel was a faithful prophet of God. And when God called him, he told him that people are not going to pay attention to him. And their faces are going to be hardened as he preaches the word to them. But he says, you know what? They're not going to like your sermons. They're not going to like what I have to tell them. Sad to say, every God-called preacher knows what Ezekiel went through. You see, a preacher who lifts up his voice like a trumpet and cries aloud against the sins of the people has those in his congregation that look angry. Some will sneer, make faces, shake their head in disagreement. But then in Ezekiel, in the midst of his ministry, his wife died, and he just kept preaching the next day and doing as God commanded. Now, I don't know about you, but Ezekiel loved his wife. That was pleasant. She was pleasant in his eyes. And yet she passed, and he did as the Lord commanded him. How many think Ezekiel must have been burdened the next day? I believe he was greatly burdened. Mary and Martha were two good friends of Jesus while Jesus trod this earth in the days of his flesh. But those two sisters had a burden. Their brother Lazarus had died. Now, just because you love the Lord and he enjoys your fellowship doesn't mean you're going to have a burden-free life. Did Jesus promise us, believers, that we would always enjoy sunshine and no rain? That everything would come up roses for us and there would be no cares in this life? Did he say he would take away all our burdens? Or are we told to cast our burden upon the Lord and he will sustain thee? I'd say Moses had some burdens, wouldn't you? So did Joseph, especially concerning his brothers. And what about Daniel and Nehemiah? Did these guys have burdens? Sure they did. So just what kind of burdens do we have? Well, we should have a burden for our lost loved ones. This was a burden that Paul bore, and he wrote this in Romans 9, 1 through 3. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Paul is saying, I'm not preaching now, I'm telling you the truth. That's a joke there, okay. I'm burdened about the lost loved ones that I have. You know, when I got saved, one of the first things happened to me was I was burdened for my loved ones, for my relatives, my mom, my dad, my siblings, and my grandfather. I would pace the floors in the wee hours of the morning, in the middle of the night, begging God to save them. During altar calls at the church, after the sermon, I would go forward. I would wet the carpet with my tears, asking God to show them mercy, to deal with them, and bring them to belief in the Savior. I would venture to say some of us are sleeping all too well at night. We are too dried-eyed, while our family members are lost, undone, dead in their trespasses and sin. They're headed for an awful place of torment, but we don't have the burden for them that we should. You see, I was willing to be banished from my family, if that's what it takes to tell them about Jesus. I didn't want them to go to a devil's hell without doing all that I could to reach them. This is the right kind of burden we ought to have. And we should have great heaviness and continual sorrow in our hearts for those who are near and dear to us. Some are burdened about health problems. Here in our church, many are afflicted with heart conditions. Some have vision impairments. Others are stricken with cancer. Some have back problems, seizures, migraines, autoimmune diseases. And those in good health now, if you live long enough, you'll be faced and burdened by some physical malady as your body weakens and as your body breaks down. Take a look around you. And if you don't get to praying for the Lord's soon return, you're going to be eventually burdened by health problems. Others, perhaps, are burdened with marital problems. If the two of you are saved and living for the Lord as you should, there is no excuse for those two people in the confines of marriage that are going to the same heaven, who have trusted the same Savior, who are both indwelt by the same Holy Spirit, believe the same Bible, to not get along with each other. You husbands, you are to love your wives. You are to dwell with them according to knowledge. You are to give honor unto her as the weaker vessel. Wives, you are to love your husbands. You are to obey them and submit yourself to them and show them respect. Fulfill your God-given roles in the marriage. Stay true and faithful to one another all your days. Stay in the Bible. Stay in the church. Keep your vows. Pray together. And by all means, stay together. For what God hath put together, let not man put asunder. Marriage can and should be a bit of heaven on earth. And wise is the married couple that keeps the honey in the honeymoon. Then at times, some will face financial burdens. This can happen if you lose a job. It's happened to me before. Some bring this upon themselves because they do not tithe and they rob God. Some have an unexpected emergency, such as a government shutdown, and put a lot of people in a pinch. Then there are times when there seems to be more month than money and you have a hard time figuring out how you're going to make it. This much I know. There is a God in heaven and He can strengthen and comfort us. He can heal rifts in relationship. He can meet our needs and He can save our lost loved ones. So what are we to do when burdens come our way? Well, let's not doubt God. Let's just keep living by faith, keep praying, keep reading our Bible, keep going to church, keep giving, and keep living for the Lord. David, when burdened, prayed, and he wrote in Psalm 55:1, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication." Now, prayer can do what God can do. And yes, our God does hear and answer prayer. So come boldly to the throne of grace. Make your requests known to Him and watch what He is willing to do on your behalf. Live in the book that God wrote. Be doers of it. Saturate yourself with it and don't doubt what thus saith the Lord. Number two, don't murmur or complain. Don't murmur or complain. When reading about the children of Israel leaving Egypt and wandering about in the wilderness, you see them being judged by God for one thing, whining and griping. Now, one thing I noticed about Baptists, and that they're a whole lot like Jewish people in this matter. Listen, did complaining ever fix a thing? Did it make your burden lighter? Did it make your burden go away? It just doesn't help, does it? Are we not told in Philippians 2:14, do all things without murmuring and complaining? 1 Corinthians 10:10 says, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. And then we read this in the first part of Lamentation 3:39. Wherefore doth a living man complain? Got to ask the question. It should be quite clear that God is against complaining. And so much so that it has been calculated that during Israel's 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, that over 1 million Jews died by God's judgment for that very sin. Remember, when you are tempted to complain about your burdens, half the people you're complaining to aren't listening. And the other half is glad that you got what's coming to you. Number three, isn't that good? Don't blame God. Don't blame God. Sometimes people ask, why did God allow this to happen? Well, I don't know. I don't have the answer. But I do know we shouldn't blame God for it. He is good all the time, and all the time He is good. Burdens are no burdens. Should not cause us to question God. He's still wonderful, and He is still better to us than we ever deserved. Why do we blame God for what comes our way? Now, I could get bitter and say, Lord, I've been reading your Bible for over 42 years. I've been praying all that time. I've been going to church. I've been giving all that time, pastoring here for nearly 3 decades. I've been faithful to you. But why did you allow me to have at one point in time a non-alcohol liver disease? Why am I afflicted with diabetes? Why did I blow out my knee getting some cans for Converts? Why do I have hearing loss? Why did I have 6 teeth pulled at the beginning of this year? Why do I have GERD? Why sleep apnea? Why did you allow me to go to doctors? I was doing fine until they got a hold of me. Much like complaining, it doesn't do a bit of good to blame God. So just keep trusting God, believing He knows what is best for us. Number four, don't become bitter when burdens come. I don't know about you, but I've ran across too many bitter Christians, and boy, they are miserable, and I do not like being around them. Bitterness will destroy you. And there are those who get bitter at God, and they say such things, man, you know what? God should have never done this to me. I'm mad at Him. I just look at him and say, boy, you're brilliant, aren't you? I even heard one foolish woman tell me she is unwilling to forgive God. I think I told her, He doesn't need your forgiveness, nor does He want it. He never did anything wrong to you. Those who get bitter at Him are in awful shape. If we believers would just contemplate about all the wonderful blessings that God has given us, they would far outweigh any burdens we are dealing with, and we would be cured of any bent towards bitterness. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life more bitterly. No, that they might have life more what? Abundantly. He didn't come so that so that you would be miserable. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to have rest and peace. You say, what about these burdens that came into my life? Well, can't you still have joy? Can't you still have peace even in the midst of burdens? Habakkuk did. We read this in Habakkuk 3, 17 and 18. Now see if you don't think he had a burden. Although the fig tree shall not blossom. You know what that means? No figs. Neither shall fruit be in the vine. You know what that means? No grapes. The labor of the olive shall fail. You know what that means? No olives. Some of you are like, that's okay. And the field shall yield no meat, meaning there's no grain. Not going to be wheat, not going to be corn, not going to be rye, nothing. The flock shall be cut off from the fold. No mud, none. And there shall be no herd in the stalls. Beef ain't what's for dinner. Notice this. He's got nothing, right? How does he respond? Is he going to complain? Is he going to be bitter? He says this. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I know of a woman who's in her 30s. She has suffered hundreds of seizures a day as a little girl, and they still continue today. She's had numerous operations. She has less than half her brain in her head. She's wheelchair bound. At times in great pain. She will never marry. She'll never have children. But she is one of the sweetest, happiest Christians you will ever meet. Does she have burdens? Not like yours. Yours are so much greater than hers. Because after all, you had a run in your pantyhose this morning. Your hair just got wind blown after you spent all that time with it. Your nails split. I know it's hard. Life is tough. She has burdens. Far greater than anybody I know of here. And I pray on a frequent basis that I'd be able to handle my lesser burdens with her same sweet spirit. Don't become bitter. Cast your burden upon the Lord. Number five, don't quit serving God when burdens come. A lot of people do that. Well, I'm under protest. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to quit. This Christian life is too hard. Can you give me a chapter and verse on that, please? If you quit serving God, what you do is feel sorry for yourself. Now, the best thing you can do when you feel down in the dumps is get busy for the Lord. Why not make some visits? Why not go to a nursing home and see people there and talk to them and try to lead them to the Lord or bring them a dozen cookies or something? Why not take some flowers to a friend who's going through a tough time? Find somebody else with a burden and help them out. When you get involved in lifting someone else's burden, you find that yours isn't so bad, and sometimes you forget you even had one. But if you quit serving the Lord, you have all the time to dwell on how bad you have it. But by staying busy in the Lord's work, you won't give time to that. Number six, understand that all things work together for your good. Romans 8:28 says, and we, that's all believers, This promise says this. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now every burden you have every heartache and every care in your life is something that God is using for your good and for His glory. So we need to let the Lord do His perfecting work in our life. Now, we may not like the ingredients or the various things that God allows us to go through, but in the end, it is always for what? Our good. It's kind of like a buttermilk biscuit. Every time I read that, I think of that. And I think, my, I wish Connie could make me some of those. I do. How many of you ever had a buttermilk biscuit? And I'm not talking those little things like that. I'm talking those big old cat head size ones. Her mom used to make a great buttermilk biscuit. Well, the ingredients on their own are not good, are they? How many like salt all by itself? Flour. Yummy. Bacon powder. Lard. That's good. And then buttermilk. Now, some people like buttermilk, some don't. But when you put them all together in the right amount, and how many think God puts these things in our lives in the right amount? Stir it up, knead it, put it in the oven till they're golden brown. If you would put one of those things on the top of your head, your tongue would beat you to death trying to get at it. You see, so many good things result in our lives through burdens we don't like, through trials we think are not necessary, and needs we think we can do without. But when the Lord puts them all together, it's good, for it teaches us to depend upon the Lord. It causes us to pray more fervently, draw nigh to Him, makes us more Christ-like, and more usable to God. It gives us patience, strengthens our faith, makes us vessels for the finer. And you say, well, I don't understand why this burden came into my life. You don't have to. Just trust the one who knows what you need. Number 7, don't run from troubles. Don't get happy feet. If you run from them, you'll never be able to grow strong in the faith. Do you know who the strongest believers are? Well, they're not the ones who lift weights, but those who carry the biggest burdens and continue on for the Lord. Listen, I owned a set of weights at one time. They were nice. I don't know what happened to them. Nor do I care. Because I lift plenty of weights just getting out of bed. Now, we can't afford to run from trouble. Deal with it. For it is something God has placed in our lives to strengthen us in the faith. Number 8, realize God's grace is sufficient. I don't know what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. Some say it was his eyes. Some say it was his back. One preacher said that thorn was the name of his wife. This preacher didn't say that. Whatever it was, it caused him pain. And he asked God to take it away and remove it from him 3 times. The Lord told him, Paul, I'm not taking it away. You're going to have to bear it. And my grace, well, let me tell you, it's sufficient for thee. Whatever burden you have, whatever heartache you bear, whatever trouble you shoulder, realize God's grace is sufficient for you. Number 9, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Now, he didn't say rejoice in your burden. Rejoice in your trial. Rejoice in your misfortune. But we can always rejoice in the Lord. You say, why is that? Because God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Just keep on rejoicing in the Lord always. And again, I say what? Rejoice. The old hymn says, if you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and what? Leave it there. You know, the disciples, they rejoiced as they were worthy to suffer for his name's sake. Paul and Silas were thrown in the Philippian jail, and they were singing his praises at midnight. And though we may not be able to rejoice in the burden or the trouble or the need, we should always be able to rejoice in Jesus and the great things that he has done on our behalf. Whatever your burden is, you can take it to the Lord. You can leave it there, and he will sustain you. Listen, there's not a burden he can't lift, a trouble he can't solve, or a need that he can't meet. So why not cast all your burdens upon the Lord and simply rejoice in him always? And again, I say rejoice. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed.